Tonight, I'd like to invite you over to the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verse 1. Revelation, chapter 20, verse 1. Revelation, chapter 20, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight, and we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of gathering together as your church, Lord, in your house, asking for the blessings, Lord, that you might open our hearts and minds to hear from you and to be drawn closer to you, and Lord, that you might have your will and your way in each and every one of our lives. May you give us that hunger and thirst, Lord, for your righteousness, that you might be glorified tonight and each and every day in our lives. And we'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory. Again, we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the message tonight is just simply some thoughts about Revelation. Some thoughts about Revelation. And that's, of course, the book of Revelation here. And it's the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ and the events that are going to be taking place. And as we look to this portion of Scripture, I want you to get a visual in your mind of what's taking place. We're going to read this, and I want you to allow and ask the Lord to give you a picture of what's taking place. And you've heard it said before, a picture is worth 1,000 words. So if you can get a picture of something, that's better than somebody telling you the details. So I want you to ask the Lord to give you a picture of the events that are taking place here in this revelation that John the Revelator is getting. And specifically, it's about what's going to take place. And so we will see this one day. But anyway, I want to look at just a couple of thoughts here tonight on this portion of Scripture. And first of all, we're going to look at Satan bound for 1,000 years in the bottomless pit. Isn't that amazing? And that's a good thing. I mean, that's Satan, the accuser of the brethren. That's Satan, the one that prompts people and pushes people into sin, into destruction. And he loves nothing more to do to humankind than to destroy them, because we're made and created in the image of God. And then I want you to see in verses 4 through 6, we're going to take a little bit of time to look at the first resurrection. Then we're going to go ahead and take a look at Satan loosed out of his prison. And then we're gonna move down a little bit, and we're going to take a look at the second death. But I want you to just ask the Lord to just open up your heart and mind and to get a visual of what's taking place. So look at verse 1 again. It says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven." Can you imagine that? Now, I will tell you this, and I'm not going to ask you to make any decisions right now, but when you read the Word of God, You'll discover something, and that is that nothing is mentioned about angels having wings. Now, I don't want to get controversial here, but it's the seraphims and some of the cherubims that have wings and things of that nature. But angels specifically here, whenever you see them, they come looking like men. Nothing is said about that. But what happens is people put pictures out there, and they're all men, by the way. And most of the times when you see an angel in the store, it's usually a female. And I'm not trying to open up a can of worms here, but I just want you, what I'm trying to say is, be careful how our minds are led and guided, right? We talked about sometime in the past, we talked about, where is it mentioned where the lamb and the lion are going to lay down? And it was the lamb and the wolf, right? Remember that? And that, I looked it up, and that came from some country song back in the 30s, if I'm not mistaken. And so I'm not trying to find fault with these things, but listen, they can be misleading is what I'm trying to say. So let's look at the Word of God, and let's allow the Word of God to put the picture in our mind, okay? So again, verse 1, it says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven," and notice it having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Did you get the visual? Can you see that visual? All right, so let's just take it right there, verbatim, how it's given to us in the Word of God. "And he laid hold on the dragon," this angel coming down with the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, "and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years.
and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. So as we look at this tonight, we want to just again be reminded of how this is happening, how this is taking place. The angel has the authority. If anything this should reveal to us is that God is the one in complete control. And he's saying, hey, listen, at the end, he must be loosed for a little season, but it's just going to be a little season. Fathom this thought, just a passing thought here. If anybody sees it clearer than anybody else that God rules in the affairs of history, have you ever pondered that thought? His story, it's God's story, amen? It's going to happen exactly as he says it's going to happen. If anybody other than God himself and the angel, Satan surely sees everything coming to pass exactly as God says it. And he's still fighting against the Lord. All right. So here this is going to be happening. So it's going to have to be loose for a little season. Then we look at verse 4 and 6 and we see the first resurrection. That's us. And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So obviously we have the end of the tribulation period. We have those that were believers through the tribulation period that were beheaded. They're there, right? They're there in with the Lord and they're reigning. But notice what it says here in verse 5. But of the rest of the dead lived not again. These are those who were without Christ until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So those who were resurrected that were martyred during the tribulation period, and those that were before that had died in the Lord, and those that were in the rapture, they're the ones that are participating in the first resurrection. So, verse 6, it says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So those who were alive and knew the Lord Jesus Christ before all this was taking place, they're part of the first resurrection. The ones that are awaiting judgment are still in their holding place. And so we get another visual, we get another picture, and then we find Satan loosed out of his prison. In verse 7 it says, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to the battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. The number of these people of Gog and Magog that are going to war against God are as the number of the sand of the sea. So this, can you get that visual? There's a big host coming out against God. Now, remember, the Lord had already ruled and reigned for 1,000 years. And now we've got this army coming out against the Lord because Satan has been loosed. And notice verse 9, what it says here. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. What kind of a battle was that? Amen. It was a very short one, wasn't it? So all of a sudden, here are all these people. They're up in arms, literally, to fight God. And then all of a sudden here, fire comes down from God and wipes them out. Can you get that visual? Okay. All right. Then verse 10. Now I want you to see this other visual here. And this is the devil's judgment in the lake of fire. And notice what it says here in verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, I don't know what that kind of torment is, and I don't know forever and ever because I'm a created being that's only lived X amount of years, right? So I can understand that in my mind. I can get a visual, but yet it's going to be something to behold. I want you to see something here. You don't have to turn there. If you'd like, you can hold your place right here. I'm going to go over to the book of Isaiah chapter 14 just for a moment. And I'll read this and you'll be familiar with it. Isaiah 14. And I really want to focus in on verse 16, but I do want to back up to verse 12. When I read this portion of scripture, you'll say, oh yeah, I'm familiar with this. Ready? How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Isn't that amazing? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend. This is his pride being revealed. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. And most people stop right there. But listen to this. Here's the verse I want you to see. They that see thee. Now, we're at the end in the book of Revelation where they are going to see this. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee. That's not very pleasant to when somebody narrowly, you know, they're not happy. Okay? They're not happy to say the least. Okay? Look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man? This is what we were afraid of? Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof and opened not the house of his prisoners? Is this the man? When we are glorified with the Lord, he is not going to amount to much. All right? He is not going to amount to much. So I just want you to get that little picture there. We're going to go back over to the book of Revelation. Tonight's message is an encouraging one because we're on the winning side. Amen. All right? And God's the one that's on the throne, and his hand is on the throttle, and he's the one that says this far and no further, and it's for my honor and glory. And we can rest, and God wants us to rest in that assurance. And so, as we consider that, we see this judgment now in verse 10, where he's thrown into the lake of fire, and he's tormented forever and ever. And then I want to just take a few moments, and I want you to see the great white throne. We call it the great white throne judgment, all right? Judgment is taking place, and so we'll see that here. And this is where the dead are going to stand before God, and this is going to be the second death. And we did notice in verse 10 the lake of fire, and the lake of fire is going to be mentioned again here in verse 13 and verse 15. But look at verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. Did you get that visual? The judgment of God is so powerful, the Bible says, whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. Just allow that. And listen, this is not figuratively. These events are going to take place. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. These are those who rejected God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book according to their works. This is what they want to be judged by. The lost people say, oh, you know, I'm going to weigh it out. Well, God's going to weigh it out. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And the sea now does have a picture of humanity. And so I don't understand how this is going to transpire, but regardless, to say all those who died without Christ are going to stand before God. And so the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and that might be literally there's many that have died at sea, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. So now we have all those that have that are waiting, have been waiting the judgment of God. Now they're coming up before the Lord now. So if they died like the rich man did with Lazarus, in hell he lifted up his eyes. In torments. Remember, he just wanted a drop of water, and that was not granted to him. And so now, out of hell, these people are all released, and they were delivered before the Lord, and they were judged. Verse 13, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Verse 14, isn't that amazing? So all these people, they were judged. Now, here's a little bit hard to understand here because we're creatures of the clock. I don't know how much time is taking place here. I don't know if this is done in a moment. I don't know if this is because there is no time. Either way, it'll be gone through thoroughly. All right. Verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So all these people that rejected the Lord will be cast in there. Now ready? And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So this is the third time we're hearing about this lake of fire. I don't know if it's molten, lake of fire. Now, that's pretty powerful, isn't it? But I want you to, on the lighter side, see this. In chapter 21, new things. We see in all this, this is the finishing of the old things. Now we're going to look at the new things. Verse 1 of 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Isn't that amazing? Now, listen, did you get a visual of some of those things? Isn't that amazing? Now, wait a minute. I want you to just think, fathom this thought too. If you could get an animator, or if you could get somebody that was good with computers to put what we just saw in our minds to where we could actually see it taking place, we'll still miss it. We will still miss it. But listen, God is wanting us to get a picture of what's going to happen. We understood it correctly, but when we see it, it will be something completely different. Does that make sense? Those events will be identically as we read them. But you know what I'm saying? But when they transpire, we've never seen the spiritual realm. We've not been into that realm to see all of that. And we are going to be in awe. We're on the Lord's side. God will even be glorified in this. And God will give us peace through this whole situation. Because it is the holiness and righteousness of God that demands judgment. He is a merciful God to all those who will turn on this side of eternity and make their choice for Him. But He is a righteous and holy God, and one day we will see that. Now listen, I really mean this. My mouth, I believe, I'll make sure of it, will be hanging the lowest. Amen. My mouth will drop. When we see all of this, and I believe all of ours, we will be in awe. I think we'll have the mind of Christ, and so maybe we won't be so obvious, but we'll still be in awe. Because all of this that we're hearing, we will one day see for the very first time, and thank the Lord for the last time, all the judgment part of it. But one day, we will look at all the new things that He has made, and they will be forever. So God wants to give us a visual, but we will have the facts right, but because we are finite, it's going to be something that words will not be able to express or explain. You will have to see it, and praise God, we will. Isn't that something? You and I, because of the grace of God, will stand with Him, for Him, and in Him because of His love for us. Isn't that amazing? So as we consider these thoughts about Revelation, the best truly is yet to come. Amen. Let's pray and we'll dismiss for a time of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your truth and the truths, Lord, that You desire to reveal to us and the glimpses of Your glory that You would have us to see and to begin to take hold of and to understand that You will bring to fruition one day, Lord, very soon. And so we thank You for that. And we ask that You would create in our hearts a hunger and a thirst for You and Your righteousness. Lord, that we would not hold on to the beggarly things of this world that are passing away, but that we would reach forth to the eternal things that deal with You, that are truly the greatest riches that we have, that You've given to us on this side of eternity. May we not be distracted with the little trinkets and hold on to the treasure in You that You've given to us. Bless, Lord, the rest of the evening as we break off for prayer. Might You be glorified, Lord, and we pray that You would glorify Yourself in and through each and every one of our lives, and Lord, that we would call upon You to fulfill Your will in our lives. Bless and we'll thank You. Again, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.